Today, elected officials in Lansing are nearing the end of their annual give and take over the city's next budget. By a 5-3 vote Monday night, the city council approved a roughly $115 million spending plan that eliminated a number of items supported by Mayor Virge Bernero. The mayor has promised a veto. Here to talk about what he can and cannot accept and about several developments that have unfolded just in the past 12 to 18 hours, Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero. Nice to see you.
Nice to be with you, Mark.
Glad you're here today.
I hear your staff told me no four-letter words, and there you go talking about veto.
That's one four-letter word we can say on current state. I had more questions involving the budget alone than we probably had time for, but I feel obligated to address General Motors' Lansing Grand River expansion. This is a logistics center, as I understand, that will add about 200 jobs. What triggered this?
Well, right now, somewhat, we have to speculate. I mean, we do know this, Mark, that the Camaro is coming to Lansing, right?
Yes.
I mean, that announcement's been made. So that's a huge thing to get a new vehicle. And we, of course, we're already producing award-winning vehicles, the Cadillac CTS, the Cadillac ATS, which I think is going to work, the new Cadillac CTS, which is astounding. But, you know, we've had Car of the Year the last couple years out of Lansing. So we're producing some of the leaders of the GM fleet. That's phenomenal because of the great job that our GM UAW workers do. And it's largely because of their reputation, the job they do, their productivity, Mark. I mean, we should take it. It's worth taking a moment to pat ourselves on the back. In the hyper-competitive world that is the auto industry, we're producing some of the greatest cars in the world right here in Lansing. And so I think because of that, when GM made the decision to bring the Camaro back to this country, Lansing stood out like a beacon. And so here we are, we're getting the Camaro. So one could surmise that this logistics center has to do with preparing for that, because right next door will be where the production of the new line of the Camaro will go in.
Okay.
So we're talking about 200 jobs. We're talking about $44 million of investment of construction and so on. So it's a phenomenal investment. It's a great thing. The reverberating effects of this, I call it the magic of manufacturing. I get very excited about it, but the magic of manufacturing is the spinoff of it, because when you think about manufacturing, experts say that for every one manufacturing job, we're talking about 200 new manufacturing jobs. Experts say that for every one manufacturing job, you get an additional 5 to 7 in the economy because of the reverberate, the ripple effect of those jobs, because you have a supply chain.
How big a revenue impact here?
It's millions. It's millions. I don't have the exact number. We were just calculating that. It's the reverberating effect is phenomenal. You know, you look at what goes into a car. You look at the windshield, you know, the glass, the tire, the components. Now, they're not all made in Lansing, but there's a supply chain, the trucking, the advertising, you know, the sales. So it's a phenomenal thing. It's a great omen for the city. It means GM is doubling down on their investment, you know, more than doubling, really. So it's very exciting. And again, it speaks to the workforce. Any mayor would be proud, would be delighted to have them. We're very lucky that they are making their home in Lansing, and we are leading the state's recovery. We're one of the great manufacturing hubs of this country in Lansing. And the statistics showed that even before this, the manufacturing growth in Lansing is like second in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's the top in Michigan, and it's second in the nation.
In East Lansing last night, the city council approved federal money earmarked to expand Michigan Flyer bus service from East Lansing to Detroit. To be clear, this still has to be approved by the Tri-County Regional Planning Commission. My question for you, as a supporter of the Capital Region International Airport, how much impact would this expanded service have on CREA?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a supporter of subsidizing the Flyer. And we call it the Flyer. We should stop the misnomer, okay? I'm not in favor of subsidizing bus service to Metro Airport. I think this is absolute nonsense.
Why not?
It's insanity. Because we pay, Mark, if you live in Ingham County, you are paying for the Capital Region International Airport. Okay? You're paying for it. It's in your millage. You're paying. The county has levied an assessment to pay for the regional airport. So why in the world would we then take public money and give it to a for-profit out-of-state company, Indian Trails? That's what we're talking about. And this never went out for bid. You know, something's up here. Something's fishy. This never went out for bid. If we were going to use public money to subsidize for-profit bus service, this is a for-profit bus company, Indian Trails, an out-of-state company that got a sweetheart deal, that got a no-bid contract. If you were going to award something like this, by the way, we have Kelly Dean. We have Dean Transportation based right here in the Lansing area, okay? So if you want to subsidize bus, then put out a bid, let everybody compete for it. And, you know, I believe in buy local, Mark. We have a buy local ordinance in the city. You know, we give a 5% preference for local companies. If we were going to subsidize bus service, we should give it to a Michigan company, provided that they gave a reasonable bid. But, of course, Dean Transportation never had a chance to bid on this. And that's not the reason, the sole reason I oppose it. I'm just telling you, something's fishy with this thing. It just doesn't make sense that we're using public funds to support an airport here in Lansing, and then we're subsidizing bus trips to Metro Airport Detroit.
It seems like it's a priority of the federal government, though, nationally, to try to expand transportation options in this way.
Well, we ought to be – it's nonsense. It's ridiculous. You know, you go to Europe. You go to other places that are going concerned. They have what's called rail. Now, I know this is a new concept in Michigan. Other people have trains. Rail transportation, Mark. That's public transportation. Nobody really wants to take a bus. Okay, people do occasionally take a bus because they have to. But let's get serious. If we're going to be spending millions of dollars over time, let's beef up Amtrak. Let's get real rail transportation. This is nonsense. Like, people want to be bussed around. And the fact is, we have an airport right here. Now, if people want to take Indian Trails to Detroit as a bus, by the way, this is America. Go ahead and take it. My gosh, vote with your pocketbook. Spend your money how you see fit. Don't ask me to subsidize a for-profit bus company. This is absolute garbage. And I intend to fight it every step of the way. I'm going to fight it at the state level, the federal level. This is the kind of grant that is ridiculous. It makes no sense. Our roads are crumbling. Our rail is failing increasingly. Amtrak is in trouble. And we're subsidizing for-profit bus operations. Insanity.
Onto the budget. As I understand it, you can veto the entire plan or you can do line item vetoes. Do you know which one of those it'll be?
It'll be line item vetoes.
Okay. Council wants the Board of Water and Light to bump its payments to the city. I forget the exact percentage. Is it a percent? Maybe you know.
We have not cleared that up yet. It's somewhere between 1 and 1.2. So in other words, it would go from 5% return on equity to 6 or 6.1 or 6.2, somewhere between 6 and 6.2. Somewhere around $4 million that we would get back.
Not only does this undo your original plan to increase light and water fees for residents, but it's a specific idea, if memory serves, that you were against a year or even less ago. What has changed?
Well, let me say, this shows you how compromising and flexible I am, Mark.
Okay.
tell
us more.
I am willing to consider this, okay? Because the reality here is what we're talking about. So on the big picture, actually, what you're talking about is the most important part of the budget. And on this, we actually agree, the council and the mayor. I want to get the job done. The point is, we needed new revenue for the streetlights and the hydrants. We need new money for that. And on this, we agree with the board, the council. Now, the council chose to do it a different way. I proposed a special assessment in my budget to them.
Right.
They essentially are saying we can raise the same money in a different way, which, as you're correct, last year I said no. But, you know, politics is about the art of the possible. We have to get this done. It's important to the budget. The council almost unanimously said they'd like to go with this return on equity approach as opposed to the special assessment approach of getting the money to keep the streetlights on. The goal is we have to keep the city safe, we have to keep the streetlights on, and we have to get new funding for it. To the average public, Mark, it makes little difference. To the average public, it's six of one, half dozen of the other. The question is how they're going to end up paying for this, and one way or the other, they're going to pay for it. The reality is, unfortunately, we have to essentially go to the taxpayer, go to the residents, and say we need more. We have to have a way to subsidize this in the budget. We can no longer simply take it out of the general fund, and the money will be there. On that, we agree. There are a number of specific items in the budget that I disagree with them on. They're really small comparatively. The reality is, on the great bulk of the $114 million budget, we are in agreement.
Any response from the Board of Water and Light regarding that?
I'm just beginning my talks with them.
Okay. Monday night, you made it clear that funding for economic development that the council dropped was really important to the administration. You're going to restore that then?
Yes. The majority of the council, once again, is out to lunch on economic development matters. You know, praise.
How does that play out? Talk to us about the council's attitude toward economic development and how it differs from your own. What's the big takeaway there?
Well, theirs is passive aggressive, and mine is aggressively pro-business. That's the theirs is passive aggressive. They're depending
passive
on
aggressive. What is it?
They're passive aggressive. They for example, they want to raid the Economic Development Fund right now. They propose in their budget, I think it's like $1 million. They're trying to take out of economic development when it's unnecessary and it's counterproductive. And you're really eating your young when you do that. One of the reasons that we're doing well, we talked about manufacturing, but we're doing well in bioscience. We're doing well in insurance. You know, we've got growth across the board in Lansing in tough times because we never stopped investing. We never stopped working. Now they want to hobble our EDC and take money away. I'm not going to allow that. That's insanity. But I say they're passive aggressive because in the past, for example, Brian Jeffries has supported these efforts. He's constantly talking about the TIFA, the problem in the TIFA. Well, when he was on the EDC board, he voted for all those things. He's trying to say that I gave away money to he voted for those projects, okay? But now he's against them. You know, he was for them before he was against them. So, you know, we need a pro-business council. You know, you can't be pro-labor without being pro-business. And I'm proudly both. I am pro-labor, no question about it, but I'm pro-business. There has to be balance. So, they've done that, which is short-sighted. They want to eliminate the sister cities, which is a pittance in the budget, and it's out of my budget. You know, this is the thing, Mark. It's an overreach. This is a problem you get into with Kara Wood. She's president of the council. She's finally running something. And look out, because she's a control freak, and she wants to run my budget. My mayor's budget, which is where the faith-based comes out of and the global initiatives, is lower than Tony Benavides when he was here. You know, I'm operating at the same level that Hollister was. So they ought to stay out of my budget, take care of their own, and we can move forward.
The economic development amount, you're not going for a smaller amount. You're going for the full whatever was in there originally.
They're not going to touch economic development. Not on my watch.
Okay.
We're not going to slow down. We're not going to wave the white flag. We need to be doing more. We need to be investing. And the proof of the pudding is in the tasting, Mark. You can look at Jackson National Life. You can look at General Motors. You can look at the successes we've had. The NAPS building downtown. Those projects would not be happening if we didn't have the robust economic development efforts that we have in place. And I'm not going to sacrifice, and I'm not going to compromise that.
You mentioned the sister cities appropriations and the faith-based initiatives money here. Just a second.
Which comes out of my mayor's budget.
Those come out of your office's budget.
And I challenge you to look at any city our size, Mark. I'll put my budget up against a mayor of any city our size. We are very frugal in the mayor's office, and those are wise investments. The sister cities, this isn't just social, cultural, and educational, which on their own is important. We don't fund the whole office. They raise other money, but we have a protocol officer that works in the mayor's office, and it's absolutely vital. We just had a Japanese delegation in. They planted some trees along the river. But beyond that, the Consul General Matsuda came in from Detroit. He brought with him, Mark, I can show you the list of who was here, presidents, CEOs, vice presidents of some of the top Japanese-American companies in the nation, in the state, were here. And by the way, our number one trading partner is Japan. In Michigan. It ain't Canada, it's Japan. And we had some of the top business leaders in town because of a sister city's mission. We're the capital city. We are constantly hosting delegations from around the world, not just around the world. We just had a Turkish delegation. We've had European delegations again and again. We have to be prepared to welcome them and be appropriate. And it's a pittance of a budget that we do for that.
On the heels of the financial health team's recommendations, though, especially, why not make, I mean, Brian Jeffries was on the show yesterday calling for them to be privatized. On the heels of the financial health team recommendations especially, why not make those public private sector projects?
For 8 years, I've battled Brian Jeffries and Carol Wood. I've had them throwing up obstacles, and I've done the best I can to turn those obstacles into stepping stones. You know, when I was an altar boy, Father Rubinsky used to say, "We all have our cross to bear, Virgil," and he is so right.
One council member who often supports you, Jessica Yorko, is facing significant competition in the 4th Ward this fall. How concerned are you that you could lose her?
I'm not too concerned. Jessica Yorko is outstanding. We don't always agree. She's a very strong spirit, very strong-willed and intelligent person. So we don't always agree on everything. But, yes, she's a solid supporter for a balanced pro-business, pro-labor approach and a progressive approach to politics and to policy.
And you're confident she'll prevail
in
the 4th?
Yes, people in the 4th Ward know Jessica. She's just a phenomenal. She's an unstoppable force. She's a great addition to the council. She's a real pro, and I can't believe they're gonna come close to touching her.
One development yesterday here that in the Capitol, I want to ask you about. The final Senate budget includes a 4.8% increase earmarked for revenue sharing with municipalities. You've railed against these cuts. to revenue sharing.
Maybe they got the message.
Okay.
Gosh, that gives me hope. That reminds me of all the preaching I used to do to my kids, and you wonder sometimes if they're listening. Maybe the legislature was listening.
Did you know about that?
No, thank you for
the news. That was not in the House budget, but it is in the
Senate
budget.
I hope it makes it through because our cities are hurting. As we talked about before the show, Mark, our cities are in jeopardy. We don't have time to talk about that now, but man, cities everywhere are put upon. And it's not like in other countries. You know, in other countries, most of the budget goes to federal government and local government and less to the state or what's called the provincial level of government in other areas. Here, we have the federal government, the state government, and by the time the money trickles down to us, a lot of times there's not much left, particularly when you talk about roads. And you know, we're where the rubber hits the road in local government. When people call 911, they're calling us. They're not calling the state capitol. When people need their roads plowed, when they need their potholes filled, they're calling us. When the sidewalks are heaving and crumbling, and we do not have adequate funds. We are creatures of the state. In Michigan, cities are creatures of the state, and we are not treated very well.
The State House is discussing tighter local restrictions on fireworks use. This is in terms, I think, of the hours that fireworks could be set off. Where is that topic in Lansing right now, and would you favor tighter restrictions on fireworks?
Well, what's happened, Mark, the biggest problem, see, you can make all the restrictions you want. Again, please apply the speech I just gave. We don't have the money. Okay, it's about enforcement. You can pass any ordinance you want. You can say you can't spit on the sidewalk, you can't do this, you can't do that. If I don't have officers to enforce that, if I don't have the time and the ability to enforce it, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. And so people use fireworks, and they've made certain fireworks legal. Okay, the legislature did that recently. They made more of a panoply of fireworks available to
right.
the public. Now they want to close the barn door after the horse got out and come by and say, oh, but you can only use them at this time and that time. Guess who gets to enforce that, Mark? Us, local
yeah.
government, with no more money. And here is the real kicker. They are collecting, the state, millions of dollars in taxes on these fireworks, none of which we are getting. The state fire marshal is enhancing. You can check this out. They're enhancing their budget by millions of dollars. Not a dime of that, other than maybe in this 4% increase to the revenue sharing, is trickling down to us. We're the ones that have to enforce their law. And so you asked about Lansing. The city council already passed something, I think, saying that you can only use these fireworks the day before, the day of, and the day after a holiday, including the 4th of July.
Okay.
Now, but now it falls on me to try to enforce that, which is essentially a joke, because I do not have the money or resources. We have to go out and keep people safe. And what happens is those calls for noise typically will not be a priority call. We will try to get to them. We will certainly. But around the fireworks time, you know, we're going to be busy dealing with higher priority calls in all likelihood. I need something from the state out of those millions of dollars. They should give the bigger cities some dollars specifically earmarked to firework enforcement. And I'd be happy to go out and enforce it. I think people should have a good time, but they should do it responsibly. And, you know, after I guess you'd have to say after midnight, because people want to do it when it's dark. But certainly after midnight, we need to have a zero-tolerance policy. And I'm not sure that I have sufficient law enforcement capacity to enforce that.
I got to get your take on the surplus that was just reported a couple of days ago on the state level here, just to continue the state budget. The targets committee, or whatever it's called, met yesterday. I believe the way it broke down, $350 million for roads, $150 million for education, and I forget if it was $25 or $50 million for the rainy day fund. Any particular response to those priorities and those sums?
Well, I mean, again, Mark, I just tell you, I talk to mayors, I read about it in other countries. We have our priorities screwed up generally here. We do not provide the level of coverage, the level of service, the level of funding at the local level. The federal government and the state government eat up most of our taxes. Local government, which is the government that is trusted the most, which does most of the heavy lifting, the quality of life issues that matter are at the local level. And when people want their streets plowed, their potholes filled, their 911 calls answered, that falls on me. And all I've had is cuts. I've had reductions in property taxes, an income tax that is flat, and basically regular cuts in revenue sharing. So, you know, two of the three legs of the stool have been hobbled. Cities are ailing. And look at this picture, Mark. You've got cities turning to emergency managers. You've got cities essentially veering toward bankruptcy, and a state that says, oh, we've got a surplus. Well, of course, you've been starving your children, your creatures. You've been starving city governments all these years, and now you have a surplus. Isn't that dandy? So I'm not going to argue about their – I'm not a state legislator, but I'm here at the local level trying to – you know, survive dealing with these FHT and trying to grow and thrive, by the way. But, Mark, I'd like to do more than survive. I'd like to thrive. And where is the plan? Where is the urban agenda?
But roads are definitely a priority of yours.
Yes.
I mean, education is too. Of course. I don't know if any money should go in the rainy day fund or not. But, I mean, there's some
kind of payoff. You have to have a certain rainy day fund for your bond, your credit rating and all that. I'm not going to argue about that. But I'm just saying they got to be realistic and they got to consider that local government is where the rubber hits the road.
And increase revenue sharing.
Well, yes. But also beyond that, I'm not just asking for more money. I've said this again and again, Mark. We got to be more productive. We got to have a system that – we got to have less duplication. And see, we've got county government. We didn't talk about county government. You got city, county, school district, state. What does county government do? Why don't we rely on county government more? Why don't they empower county government? In other – I'm not saying that the city is the end all. Okay, I'm just saying city services matter. And we have all this government. We could be working more cooperatively and collaboratively. And that's going to have to, I think, be mandated – or certainly more facilitated by the state, because local governments do not work very well together. There is a lot of duplication, a lot of separateness, separate police department, fire department, even court system. Did you see the reaction in East Lansing when one of the judges proposed that we have a consolidated courts? And East Lansing right away said, oh, we don't want any part of that. We want our own court system. Really? You got to have your own court? Well, there is a whole lot more we could be doing with collaboration, and I think a lot of that could be done through county government. I think a lot of big, expensive services could be done at the county level, because county government is the sweet spot that is both local and regional. We need more regional government, less duplication.
We've been talking with Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero about the fiscal year 2014 budget, state spending, fireworks, you name it. Virge Bernero, thanks very much.
Great to talk to you, Mark.